Anthony's doing, but they did bury him standing up. And he is facing the croplands. There was a man by the name of, he was a Civil War Confederate general. His name's A.P. Hill. He was killed in a battle at Belgrade Plantation in Richmond, Virginia. First of all, they buried him at Belgrade, and they buried him standing up. Then they moved him to Hollywood Cemetery, and guess what? They buried him standing up. And then in the city of Richmond, Virginia, to this day, there is a statue of A.P. Hill. And guess what? Beneath that statue are the remains of A.P. Hill standing up. He said, I want you to know that I died fighting. In other words, he wanted folks to know he never quit the battle. I died standing up. Amen. In Prague, Czechoslovakia, there's a Jewish seminary. I'm sorry, cemetery. It's a crowded cemetery. It has so many headstones, you think, how in the world could get all those people in there? Well, you know how they got them in there, right? You're getting it. They buried them standing up. And they buried them facing Jerusalem. Because they said, when the Messiah comes, we want to be facing Jerusalem and we want to march to Jerusalem. Praise God. So they buried them standing up. There was a man by the name of Bannister Midiette, Mount Pleasant, North Carolina, 1824. He said, I want you to bury me standing up. He said, because when Jesus comes, I don't want to waste any time sitting up. Amen. He said, when he comes, I want to be where I can see him. Amen. And I want to be when I can get out of here just as fast as I can. So they buried him standing up. So that's the title of my message tonight, is Bury Me Standing Up. There was a little boy one time, and he disobeyed, and his mama made him sit in the corner. So he was sitting in the corner all hunched over, and she could tell he was still covered with attitude. And she said, son, she said, are you doing all right over there? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you still sitting down? He said, on the outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up. You got to have that attitude. Amen. It doesn't really matter how they bury me, but on the inside, I want to be standing up. Amen. Hey, there are some things tonight that are worth standing for, and we have some things in our lives that we need to stand for. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. The Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, hallelujah, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, have your feet, and having the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul said, you got to take a stand. Hallelujah. Amen, folks. We got to stand for some things. Somebody said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You got to take a stand. Amen. The Apostle Paul had a perfect picture of a soldier because he was chained to one. When Paul wrote this letter, he was writing from a prison. And he had soldiers attached to him. And all he had to do was look over, and he had a ready-made sermon illustration. And this is what he said. He said, first of all, he said, everybody say, take the whole armor of God. Amen. You need every part protected. Don't leave anything exposed. Amen. Have everything covered tonight, and you're going to be all right. He said, first of all, he said, you need to stand up. There's not much a way you can put armor on laying down. Amen. Or sitting down. When I was a kid, I used to do stuff, and I thought I could do pretty good sitting down, but my mom would always make me stand up. She'd say, get up! Don't you sit down and do that. She wanted me on my feet. Amen. And so I think we need to learn to we're going to get ready for battle. You've got to stand up. You can't fight a battle sitting down. You can't fight a battle laying down. And I don't know if anybody's told you lately or not, but you and I are in a battle, and it's an important battle. It's the battle for our soul. Amen. The songwriter said, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Amen. We got a battle to fight. And he said, stand up. And he said, first of all, he said, I want you to put on the truth about your loins. I want you to know the most tender part of the body is the loins. Amen. That's where your guts are. You ever been hit in the stomach? Knock the breath out of you. Amen. That's a tender portion of your body. Amen. That's where the reproductive organs are. So he said, first of all, he said, you take truth and you cover that portion. You protect that part of your body. The church cannot reproduce saints unless we know truth. You can't teach anybody else what's right unless you know what's right. You can't bear children for the gospel unless you're a child of God. Amen. I don't ever want to get to the place where we lose any of this. Amen. I don't want to lose any part of the Word. I don't want to lose any part of the gospel. I want to maintain it all pure and fresh and right, just like they gave it to me. Amen. Sister Dickerson, hey, we want to keep it just like it was 53 years ago as far as the doctrine's concerned. Amen. It takes the whole gospel. It still takes the blood to wash away our sins. It still takes baptism to remit sin. It still takes the infilling of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Hallelujah. It still takes holiness. Amen, unto the Lord. It still takes righteousness. None of that's changed. And it's not going to. He said, the way you're going to stand, first of all, you've got to get truth. The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. The Bible said, love the truth. Amen. We've got to have truth. We've got to believe it with everything that's in us. Amen. Praise God. And so he said, first of all, cover your loins with truth. And then he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's where your heart is. That's where your heart is. Amen. Now it's very interesting that he puts righteousness where your heart is. Amen. You're not doing this as a show to somebody else. You're not doing this to impress somebody else with your spirituality. But you're doing this because it's right. You serve Jesus Christ because it's right. You forsake sin because it's right. You live godly and righteously in this ungodly world because it's right. You separate from sin and from carnality because it's right. Amen. So you cover your heart with the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. And then it said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let me tell you something. When we go to war, we don't need to have slippers on. And you don't need tennis shoes either. We're not running. There's no retreat here. Amen. They tell me, I wasn't there, but Paul had one sitting right beside him. But they tell me that the Roman soldiers had spikes on the bottom of their shoes so they could plant their feet. Amen. And then they weren't going to be shoved around. Nobody was going to push them back. But they'd plant those feet with the spikes, and it would give them stability. And they'd be able to stand whatever somebody come pushing, somebody come shoving, they could push back. Amen. Because their feet were shod. Amen. With some shoes that had some spikes on them. Whenever you get ready to take a stand for truth, don't put on your slippers. Amen. It's not time to relax. It's not time to let down. It's not time to get comfortable. It's not time to go to sleep. We're going to war tonight. Amen. Don't have your running shoes on. It's not time to run from the enemy, but it's time to stand. Take a stand. Get an attitude that says, if I die in the battle, bury me standing up. Amen. There's something about this truth. It needs to get all over you. Amen. And then he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He said, you get a shield of faith. Amen. And you put that out there, and it's going to protect you. So you see, in Bible times, they would take arrows and they would dip them in pitch and they would set them on fire. And they'd get their long bows and they'd stretch and they'd shoot those arrows. Sometimes they'd rain down like rain from heaven, and they'd all get together and lift up those shields. It's good, brethren, that we stand side by side. Amen. Because if we can all stand together and not be separated, we can make one shield with faith. And when hell rains down on us like arrows from heaven, that shield of faith will protect us and keep all the fiery darts from coming our way. Amen. He said, you get that shield of faith and it'll protect you. When the arrows come, amen, I'm going to tell you what's going to keep you tonight. You know what fiery darts are today? They're thoughts. Amen, the devil's constantly shooting thoughts into your mind. All of us tonight, we have thoughts sometimes, and we think, where in the world did that come from? I wasn't thinking like that. I don't think like that. What is a thought like that doing in my mind? Because the enemy just took a wild shot. Amen. And it was a thought that came. But hear me tonight. You just raise up your shield of faith. And you say, hey, I'm taking a stand here. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving out. I'm not giving in. I'm not going back. I'm taking a stand. And I'm going to stand for righteousness. Amen. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving out. But I'm going on with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So we got to have that shield of faith. And then he said, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, a helmet goes on your head. Amen. You know what tonight? You need to know that you're saved. You need to get convinced in your mind that you're saved. I know some folks that they don't know if they're saved or not. From one moment to the next, they're wondering. Amen. You need to settle that matter. Praise the Lord. Well, how do I know, preacher? You just obey Acts 2:38. Amen. And once you've obeyed that, praise God, you make up your mind. No matter what the devil... Would you believe... I've been serving the Lord now since 1967. When I got the Holy Ghost. And by the grace of God, I've been able to make it this far. And I plan on making it all the way. Amen. But that's... you see, however many years that is, that's what, 44 years maybe. I'm not real good in math, you know. When I was a kid, I fell off the back of a pickup. I was riding in the back, right up on the tailgate, and I flipped over, and my head hit the trailer hitch, right there where my math brain is. And so I'm a little slow in that department. My mom didn't buy that either. But it was 44 years ago, the Lord gave me the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I started this journey. And here I am 44 years later. And the devil, every now and then, don't do it real often, but every now and then, he'll come and he'll say, "How do you know you got the Holy Ghost?" And I tell him the same thing I've been telling him 44 years. I said, "Because I spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, and if you don't get out of here, I'm going to do it right now." Amen. Praise God. You see, and that's that shield of faith. Amen. He'll come and he'll say, "How do you know this is right?" And I just tell him, like my Sunday school teachers told me back in Sunday school when I was just a kid, "Because the Bible tells me so." Amen. I'm so glad tonight I have the Word of the Lord. This is not the Word of a man. This is not a philosophy. This is not science. Amen. But this is faith. It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so he said, you gotta know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. And you gotta keep that helmet on your head. Amen. So nothing can interfere with that. Praise the Lord. You can't let the devil get in, or some human being, or some philosophy get in your head and start monkeying around with your salvation. Some people do that. Amen. Some people go to university to get smart and they get stupid. I'm sorry. But they let people make a monkey out of them. They get there and some professor starts telling them that there is no God. Starts telling them that we all came from some explosion, we think. And then from that explosion, I've never seen an explosion do anything but tear stuff up. I've never seen an explosion create anything but chaos. And yet, science wants us to believe, so-called science, that order came out of chaos. Never does. Order comes out of a creative mind. And God created the heaven and the earth. And don't let anybody mess with that. I don't care, they may have more degrees than a thermometer, but don't let them mess with that. Amen. If you can't believe Genesis 1:1, You might as well scrap the whole book. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That establishes it all. It tells us that there is a God. It tells us that He's a creator. It tells us that He's mighty. It tells us that He sustains. It tells us He's the source and He's the origin of all things. And the Word of God is established by His Word. It's vital that we believe that. Amen. Praise God. And they'll tell you, well, speaking in tongues is super profuse emotionalism. Well, how do you know? Have you ever spoken in tongues? Well, no. Well, don't knock it till you tried it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But they want to educate you out of your salvation. Don't you let that happen. Amen. You got to put on a helmet of salvation. Hey, there are going to be some questions that you can't answer. Life's going to throw you some things that you'll never have an answer for. Somebody asks you something, you can't give them an answer. You just say, well, I'm fresh out of omniscience. Amen. I'm sorry. I just don't know. But what I do know is what happened to me. That once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was lost, but now I am found. Once I was miserable, but now I have peace. Once I was lost, but now I am found. Once I was rotten, but now I am righteous. I thank God for saving me, and don't mess with my salvation. It is not for sale. Amen. And then folks will come along and they'll say, well, you know, you really don't have to have that Holy Ghost business. And talking in tongues, some say it's of the devil, and they better be careful of that because that's biblical. I mean, they did talk in tongues in the New Testament. The founders of this apostolic church did. So you get to saying it's of the devil, you better go back to Acts chapter 2 and check that out. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. That don't sound like it's of the devil to me. I don't think Paul was of the devil, do you? Amen. And then, so they say, then if you don't believe that, they'll just say, well, it's not necessary. Amen. Well, I think tongues are a lot like shoes. When I go buy shoes, I don't say, I'd like to have some shoes with tongues, please. When I buy shoes, I don't know about women's shoes, but when I buy men's shoes, they just got tongues in them. That's the way they come. They're not separate. Amen. So they say, well, it's not necessary. Well, what difference does it make whether it's necessary or not? Amen. It's not just some option. It's a privilege. Don't get hung up on what I've got to do. Amen. Thank God for what you get to do. I don't want to be one of those people. I had a teacher one time. He was a certain religion, and he said, I go to church Sunday mornings. He said, just so I can stay just right on the edge without falling in. I think, what a horrible way to live your life. I never was one of those kind of folks. When I was young and I used to like to swim, and when I got the opportunity, I didn't go over it, and I wasn't one of those people that just stick their toe in and go, ooh. I'd run and do a cannonball. Amen. You're going to get in, get in. Amen. Don't mess around about it. None of this stick your toe in and then get your foot wet and finally get your knee in. Just dive in. Amen. Get in. Hallelujah. Pray, that's the way to live this Christian life. Don't sit around the edge and shimmer and shiver and vacillate and worry and doubt, and just dive in head first with everything that you got. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so they'll say, well, and I've heard people say, well, you know, that was just for the 12. Well, there's 120 on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. And then in Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius got the Holy Ghost, he spoke in tongues. And then the Apostle Paul, when he got the Holy Ghost, he spoke in tongues. So we don't have really any place in the Bible where people received the Holy Ghost that they didn't speak with tongues. Amen. I mean, it's a settled issue in the Scriptures. But people came to a place. You know why people don't receive the Holy Ghost in more churches? Because they don't preach it. It doesn't matter. God don't care what's on the sign out. He don't care about the name. If they'll preach Holy Ghost, they'll get Holy Ghost. I don't say this tonight to disparage anybody, but when we were in Bible college, one of our students was doing an article on the Methodist Church. And he was working with a young man, and he said, I want to ask you, he told him, went to Methodist Church, he said, I'd like to ask you about your doctrine and what you believe in your church and what y'all do. So he asked him he said, do you receive the Holy Ghost in your church? And the young man said, we sure do. He said, when we get the Holy Ghost, we speak in tongues. And he said, in your Methodist church? He said, yes, sir, we do. Pentecostal boy's getting excited now. He said, a while ago, he said, our pastor was down praying, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he started speaking in tongues. And he came to the church and he preached it, and he said people started getting the Holy Ghost in our church. So now we believe in the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. And he said, well, he said, how do you baptize? He said, well, we used to just sprinkle folks. He said, but now we take them down to the swimming pool and we plunge them under the water and we baptize them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, I want you to know something. If you open your heart to this message, it will be revealed and God will bring it in. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so don't let anybody get in your head. Don't let anybody change this. Now, sometimes people say this. They say, well, you know, I have not received the gift of tongues. Well, there's a difference in the gift of tongues in Corinthians and speaking with tongues as it is in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, it was the initial or first evidence of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I say that when you speak with tongues, it's the state of the heart address. What is it? In the book of Romans, they like to quote that verse that says, for with the mouth, confession is made from the heart. Exactly right. So how do you know when the Holy Ghost gets in the heart? Because it manifests itself. It speaks. Amen. And then when you speak in other tongues, that's coming from your heart. It lets you know that something happened, something miraculous happened on the inside of you. And you speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Now you may or may not ever receive the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues, as explained in the book of Acts, or in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is a gift to the church. A gift of tongues is to edify the whole body. When you pray in tongues personally, it edifies. The word edify means to build up. It builds you up. But it doesn't build other people up because they don't know what you're saying. But whenever someone gives a message in tongues in the church, and then there's an interpretation, it's equal to the gift of prophecy. And it edifies the whole body. Like Brother Bacon was talking about last Sunday night, when we had a message in tongues and an interpretation, and it edifies the whole body. Everybody knows what was said. And then they'll take you to Corinthians 14, where Paul said, Yet, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words in my own language than 10,000 words in tongues. Well, duh. Look at that. Yet, in the church. If I was up here preaching in tongues tonight, somebody would say, "My, what a spiritual man." But you wouldn't know a word I'm saying. And I couldn't edify anybody here. Amen. That's what he was saying. He said, when I'm preaching, I need to speak a language people understand. He's not knocking tongues. As a matter of fact, if you'll read that same chapter a little bit further down, he said, "I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all." And at the very end of the chapter, he says, "And forbid not to speak with tongues." Amen. So I don't think you can get any plainer than that. Don't let anybody mess with your tongue talking. Don't let anybody mess with your baptism. Praise God. Somebody said, "Well, the majority rules." Tell Noah that. Amen. It's not about the majority rules. It's who's right. God's concerned with righteousness, not numbers. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, such and such church has got more members than anybody. They must be right." Wrong. Doesn't mean a thing. Amen. That's not the issue. It's not about numbers. It's about the Bible. It's about obeying the gospel. It's about obeying what thus saith the Lord. Hey, we got to take a stand. Don't let anybody mess with your salvation. You stand up for it. Praise the Lord. And it's a privilege, isn't it, to do that? Ha ha. Hallelujah. I mean, I was in an English class. I think I was a sophomore. And we were reading To Kill a Mockingbird. I don't know if you still have to read that or not. We had to read that. And there's a reference in that book to these people that talk in tongues. And they kind of make fun of them. And when we got to that part, my teacher said, "Has anybody ever heard anybody do that?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "I do that." Amen. I'm going to take a stand. Don't put me down for talking in tongues. I'm glad that God gave me the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to tuck my head. I'm not going to be ashamed of this. Amen. It's an experience. It's real. It's genuine. And I had an opportunity to get to witness to my whole English class. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Hey, you take a stand for this. I'm so proud of these young people teaching Bible studies and witnessing in school and taking a stand for what you believe. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad God gave you a backbone. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so he's saying to us, he said, "You put on that helmet of salvation." And then he said, "You take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of the Lord." This is the offensive weapon that we have. It's the only offensive weapon that's mentioned. The rest of it's defense. But this is what we defeat our enemies with. Jesus used it. When Satan came to him in the wilderness, he didn't defeat him with his righteousness. He didn't defeat him with anything else. But he said, the Satan came and he said, every time he'd say, he'd quote the word of the Lord. Amen. He'd quote the Bible to him. And the devil doesn't have an answer for this. Now, the devil knows enough Bible to get him in trouble. But he can never get it right. Ever. You can be sure that any time he quotes the Scripture, he'll never get it, ever get it right, because the Bible said the truth is not in him. He doesn't have the ability to tell the truth. Because this Word of God, friend, this is real. It's settled. And that it's truth. And every time, if you stand on it, it'll bring you through. It'll bring you through. It'll bring you peace in the middle of a storm. It'll bring you comfort. Amen. When you're being assailed on every side, and you're confused and you're in turmoil, and even sorrow is ripping you apart, the Word of God brings peace. Oh, the Word of God brings peace. Thank God for His Word. Amen. And so we've got to take a stand in the Word of the Lord. Take that shield of faith. And He said, and prayer, always prayer. Thank God for prayer. Keep praying. Keep praying. If you feel like it, pray. If you don't feel like it, pray. If you think it's doing some good, pray. If you think it's not doing any good, pray. Amen. It doesn't make any difference. Just pray on. Pray on. Pray on. Pray on. Pray on. Pray on. God answers prayer. And God uses prayer to build strong, stalwart saints. Sometimes He just wants to see if you'll persevere. Amen. Praise God. He's looking for somebody that's in this thing to last and to stand. Amen. There was a pastor preaching one time in the church when my wife was a little girl. He preached kind of long, quite a while. And he said, and everybody stand, and they did. And then he said, for Jesus. Too late. Amen. Let's all stand, would you? Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you know that when Jesus died, He was standing? He didn't die lying down. He died standing. Oh yes, His hands were nailed to a cross. There were nails driven through His feet. And in order to get a good breath, He'd have to lift Himself up with agony, pulling on the flesh of those nails, pushing up with those feet, breathing a precious breath, long as He could stand the pain and the agony, and then slump back down again in His weakness till He couldn't breathe anymore. And He'd press His way back up. But He died standing up. He died standing up. Group of students took a trip to Ireland. They went to an abbey or a church in a place called Muckrose. And they could see this large Celtic cross in a field. And as they got close to the cross, somebody told them the story. They said, there's a man inside that cross. And he said, when I die, he said, I want you to bury me standing up inside of a cross. He said, I lived my life by the cross. And when I die, I want you to bury me in the cross. And that's what they did. So inside of that cross, there still stands a man. Amen. Waiting to come into the Lord. But He's inside of a cross. Amen. We got to take a stand tonight. Don't let anything get in your way. Don't let anything stop your progress. Don't let anything hinder you. You got to take a stand. Amen. I've told you the story before, but I'd like to repeat it again. There was a precious lady that came to church in Houston. She received the Holy Ghost. She went back home and she was so excited. Every time the church doors opened, she'd go to church. Her husband was not serving the Lord and he became jealous. And he would say things like, "You love that church more than me." And she would say, "Honey, no." She said, "Since I've been going to that church, I love you more than I've ever loved you. I'm more in love with you now than I ever have been in my life." She said, "But I just love the Lord. And I love to worship Him with the saints at church." He got so angry one Sunday afternoon when she was getting ready to go to church. He met her at the door with a pistol in his hand. And he said, "If you try to go to that church," he said, "I'm going to shoot you." And she said, "What are you going to do now?" She said, "Well, if you do pull the trigger," she said, "I'm going to go see Jesus." She said, "If you don't, I'm going to church." She had made up her mind, "I'm going to make it. Nothing's going to stop me." Well, he didn't pull the trigger. Matter of fact, it wasn't long before he joined her, and they're still going to that church. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you got to take a stand for this. Amen. You got to take a stand. Don't make any excuses. You can't say that I'm too young. Amen. Young people got to take a stand. Children got to take a stand. You can't say I'm too old. Amen. You can't get too old for this. We had a preacher some years ago. He was 92 years old. And my, he preached. He didn't preach long. He didn't have much energy. But for the few minutes that he had, he gave it all he had in him. Amen. I'm like the old elder. He come to church and it was a moving service. And he come down and he raised his hand and he didn't have any teeth in his mouth. And he was crypt over and he's walking on a cane. Amen. But he had some fire in his eyes. And he stood up the best that he could. And he said, Brethren, he said, "I retired the other day from the church." He said, "But I'm telling you, I'm a re-enlisting." Amen. He understood something. He said, "Hey, I got a fire nothing's going to put out. I took a stand a long time ago, and I'm going to stand until the coming of the Lord. Bury me standing up." Get that little boy attitude. I'm not talking about rebellion. Amen. You may be sitting down in a wheelchair, but be standing up on the same side. You may be lying on a bed of affliction, but be standing up in the inside. They may bury you in a tomb somewhere laying down, but make up your mind, "I'm going to be standing up on the inside." Amen. Nothing's going to stop me. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think it'd be good to respond tonight to the word of the Lord by coming to this altar and taking a stand. Don't kneel down. Just come and stand up. Lift up your face and your hands to the Lord. And you tell Him, "I'm taking a stand tonight. Amen, devil. I'm putting you on notice. I'm taking a stand." Hallelujah. I want the Lord, I want you to know I'm taking a stand. World, I want you to know that I'm taking a stand. Come what may, come what will, I'm taking a stand for Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonely valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when old Satan comes a knocking, showing me an easy way, I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonely valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when old Satan comes a knocking, showing me an easy way, I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I'm looking straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonely valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when old Satan comes a-knocking, showing me an easy way, I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonely valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when old Satan comes a-knocking, showing me an easy way, I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah, Lord.
I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. I throw my foot
on the rock. And my mind's made up.
I've got my
foot on the rock. And my mind's made up.
Go up through the lonely valley.
And I drink from a bitter cup. When old Satan comes a-knocking, showing me an easy way, I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look it straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Showing me an easy way. I stand right square on my feet. I throw my head in the air. I look straight in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh.